right, we're going to continue our series, Don't Take the Bait, in just a second, but I want to quickly give you a heads up on what's happening in the next few weeks here. Let's go ahead and bring that Sunday Fun Day calendar up on the sides, guys. Hey, a lot of fun things happening this month. I want to make sure you're aware of it. Next Sunday, as we set up the whole stage, we set up for our VBS. It's going to be a fun set there, and it's not going to be VBS next Sunday morning, but we'll have our props up, our stage set up for that. So we're calling it next Sunday Boots and Barbecue, okay? Boots and Barbecue. So wear your boots. We're going to have some barbecue sandwiches for you as you leave next week. It's going to be a fun time. The following week, really excited about July 21st. That's Barefoot Sunday. Last year we did this for the first time, and we had hundreds and hundreds of shoes donated. And we're asking you to do the same thing. We call it Barefoot Sunday because we want to remember that there's so many millions of people throughout the world who don't even have the luxury of having a nice pair of shoes. And so what we want to do here, Destiny, is we know we got closets full of shoes that we've maybe worn just once or twice, and they're just sitting there, and we're not using them. So bring those nearly new shoes. If you want to buy new shoes, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Last year, we've had people do both. Don't bring any old shoes, okay? We're not looking for the shoes that you mow the yard in, or the ones that you blew out playing basketball. Bring those really nice shoes, the good shoes. And if you want to collect from your neighbors and your friends and your family, that would be a great thing. I believe, man, we can have this whole stage full, the front of the stage and even the floor full of shoes next week. On the 21st. And we're going to donate all those shoes to local charities here in our area. And we're just going to stockpile those clothing banks up with shoes. Last year we gave several hundred pairs to the high school, and the kids who couldn't afford them went in, were able to secretly shop and get shoes for back to school time. We have people who went and got those shoes, who used them for job interviews, who couldn't afford nice shoes. So thank you in advance. Let's make it a very special day on July 21st. And then the last one is July 28th. That's going to be a fun day. Any 90s kids in the house? All right, it's going to be a 90s theme day, so dress 90s, and we're going to have a special thing going on for that morning as well. All right, today, let's get into our message. Don't take the bait. Come on, let's say it. Don't take the bait. One more time, don't take the bait. Satan has, in our life, he puts out certain bait that he wants us to bite on. He hopes that if we bite on it, he can snag us and begin to pull us away from our God-given destiny. He has certain things he wants to distract us, occupy us, get us over here away from walking out God's plan for our life. And so today we are talking about some of these schemes. I can tell you this, that Satan has no new schemes. He's been using the same tricks for years. He's kind of like that silly rabbit on tricks commercial, right? You know, he doesn't have anything new, and he's been using those same tricks for years. And so we've just got to wise up. We got to learn to identify when he's putting out a trap for us, when he's putting out bait for us, that we say, no, not today, Satan. I'm not going to bite on that. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to cleanse that from my mind. I'm going to cleanse that from my heart. I'm not going to take that bait. We've talked about fear. We've talked about being offended and how we're so easily offended. If you missed any of those, I highly encourage you to go back to our website. Make sure you watch those, listen to those messages. It really will speak to you. Today, I want to come back and rebuild back off of some of the things we've talked about as we talk about worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. I know that's for nobody here in this room, right? There's nobody that suffers with dealing with worry and anxiety. This must be for the church down the street, but just in case. How many today say, Pastor, I just want to let you know ahead of time, you're about to read my mail. Anybody want to be honest? Okay, all right. It's all right. Hey, we all can deal with worry and anxiety. And we've got to learn how do we healthy process this in a healthy way, the way God wants us to, and how do we keep it from becoming a roadblock in our life. Romans 12:2 says, gives us this instructions. Don't be conformed to the world. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're transformed by the renewing of my mind. My mind's got to become new in Christ so that I can transform my life. This is something that we got to realize today, that at salvation, my soul is transformed. It's redeemed. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my soul, my spirit right away becomes redeemed. It's an awesome thing. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's the grace and love of God. How many are thankful for that grace and love of God that instantly redeems us? Yeah, awesome. But let me tell you this. My soul and my spirit are redeemed right away, but my mind is not. My mind is a work in progress. My mind takes a progress. It's a constant thing of renewing my mind, redeeming my mind, changing my old ways of thinking, changing my patterns that maybe I've brought along for many years and I've inherited maybe from my family, or I picked up some bad habits. So whatever it is, I've got to learn to say, even though my spirit and heart has been redeemed, I've got to learn that my mind is not. And so I've got to work on transforming my mind, renewing my mind. The word transform is, it comes out of the same word of metamorphosis, which is what you want to think about a caterpillar going into a cocoon and then coming out a butterfly. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, does it? But how many want to be a butterfly, right? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I believe I can fly. Come on now. I believe you can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Come on. It's a transformation. It's a process. It's the same thing that's happening in my mind. It's a transformation process that God is wanting us to fly, to sail into his will, and to walk and rest and know who we really are as children of God. Look at this foundation today. When we worry, when we allow worry to be at the foundation of our life, worry produces anxiety. And when you have anxiety, it produces fear. And so I can preach a message I did a few weeks ago talking about not letting fear control you. But if we don't get to the root of it, it's going to come there. And so we got to get to the root today and worry that my battle with fear is really linked to my battle with worry and anxiety. That when I have it there, that it's laying a foundation that's producing anxiety and fear in my life. The number one medication given out in America today has to do with people who are suffering with anxiety and worry. I mean, isn't that amazing? We would think it would maybe be diabetes or something else, but the number one medication being prescribed today has to do with people who are dealing with worry and anxiety. Let me put it to you this way. Our hospitals across America are literally full of people who are worrying themselves to death. It's stressing them out. It's causing their blood pressure to rise. It's causing the things in their body to go out of sync and out of whack because they're allowing so much stress to come in. And it's based off of worry, anxiety. They can't rest right. They can't think straight. They can't function the way that God wants them to because we're so embedded this worry spirit, this anxiety leading to fear. And I want to tell you, as a child of God, God has never designed for any child of God to be dominated by a spirit of anxiety and worry. Matter of fact, he gives us just the opposite as our promise. But today we've got to say, you know what? This is not God's design for my mind, for my life, for my home, my marriage, my family. I've got to change some things. I've got to get to the root of the problem and begin to transform my mind. At the root of all anxiety, look at this statement. At the root of all anxiety, you can find an orphan spirit. I believe that the reason why most people deal with worry and anxiety is they are worried about being abandoned. And somewhere along the line, they've experienced that. We know now the more than ever, we have more generations coming up who've had a parent who abandoned them, a parent who wasn't there for them. Now more than ever, we have people who are abandoning marriages left and right without any kind of a fight at all. They're just walking away. And so today, we if we experience that, what it causes us is to realize that I live in fear that the next person is going to abandon me. I live in fear that the next person is going to reject me. I live in fear that this person won't fully love me. I'm never quite good enough. I'm not worth someone's time. I'm not worth someone's investment. And we watch other families or we see other people and think, why didn't I have that? And it can cause anxiety. It can cause worry to be there. But today I want you to know you are not alone. You have not been left alone. You may have had somebody who did not show up when they should have been there. You may have had somebody, nothing you did to deserve it, who rejected you, who walked out on you. But today, I wanted to let you know, not only do we have a God who can heal the brokenhearted, but we have a God who promised us, who said, I would never, ever leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. I will walk with you always. And not only that, I'll send my Comforter, and He will be with you. He will dwell with you. He will empower you. And see, today we got to realize that we are not alone. And when we sense a worrying spirit and anxiety coming, that's just the enemy trying to isolate us, get us worried about all these things that may never ever happen, and get us worried about these things. And listen, today I want you to know that God has not left you. I believe today God's going to break something in many people's hearts today. He's going to break a spirit of abandonment. He's going to break this worry in your heart. He's going to break this spirit of worry and anxiety. And He's wanting to bring a flood of joy into your life. He's wanting to bring the security of the Father. Listen, there's nothing that brings me more pleasure in my life than being the father of my 5 children. I don't want to be the father of your 5 children. But it brings me joy being the father of my 5 children. I can tell you this. I love the pastor. I've loved working in business when I had a chance to do that. But nothing brings me more fulfillment in my life than being a father. And it's just something about being a father that just brings a lot of joy to me. You know, what I've noticed is my children didn't grow up worrying about the bills. Who did that? Mom and dad, right? Mom and dad, we grew up, we worry about the bills. Our kids don't go to bed at night thinking, oh, man, I hope things are going to be all right tomorrow. No, they go to bed at peace. Why? Mom's got this. Dad's got this. I was sharing with one of my 17-year-olds the other day, and we were talking, and I was telling him, I said, you know how much today, this is how much money I put out for bills of our household. And he's like, that much? Wow. Do you have to do that like every month? I'm like, yeah, every month. This is what dad has to deal with. This is the stress that dad has to worry about. It. And he's like, oh, it's like I blew him away. Like, how do you do that? No wonder, man, dad, you know, you okay? Dad, pull over to the side of the road. Let me talk to you, you okay? You know, I was cracking up. I'm like, you know, for the first time in 17 years, the light finally came on. But he didn't grow up that way. Why? Because dad's got it. And even if dad doesn't have it, he thinks dad's got it. Sometimes dad didn't know where it was going to come from. Any moms and dads, understand what I'm saying? We don't always know, but it always works out, doesn't it? We make sure our children are taken care of, and we step up. We're going to go without if it means providing for our children, because that's the spirit of a father and a mother. Are you following me today? How much more, the Bible says, how much more does the Father want to lavish upon us and take care of us and show us His love and show us His identity as children of the God? He wants to allow that to overwhelm us. His love, His grace, His provision for our life. He wants it to overwhelm us. He loves doing it. Today, I want to give you some things. I'm going to give you 3 things on how to overcome this spirit of worry and anxiety. I'm going to give you 3 things on how to overcome. Number one, write this down. Consider them as agents of the enemy to destroy your life and rob your joy. Secret agents. When you see worry and anxiety, you feel it coming on your mind and heart, you just got to realize, all right, this is what the enemy is using for bait. This is what he's wanting to do. These are secret agents he's trying to plant in my mind. He's trying to plant in my heart to steal my joy. He doesn't want me to walk around full of the joy of the Lord. He doesn't want me to walk around with a faith knowing that my Heavenly Father is going to take care of it, trusting Him in every area of my life. He doesn't want that. So he wants me to be dominated with fear, anxiety, worry. He wants to steal my joy. See, when I allow these things to come, they are planting seed. When I allow my mind to enter into a place of worry and anxiety, I'm letting the seed of doubt plant there. And he wants that to grow. And he wants that to disconnect me from God's focus in my life. But I'm always focused on worry. Listen, if I'm always focused on worry, If I'm always focused on worry, what would happen? It's going to get big in my life. And I said this a few weeks ago. I want to say it again today. 90% of the things we worry about never, ever happen. Have you noticed that? 90% of the things that we stress out about never, ever happen. But we let it dominate our mind. We let it dominate and take root there. Don't take that bait. Don't take that bait. Whatever I'm focused on, it usually will happen, right? I'm focused that something bad's going to happen, then something bad will probably happen. If I'm looking for something bad to happen, then something bad will probably happen. But if I'm looking for something good to happen, then something good will probably happen. If I'm looking for things to turn around, things will begin to turn around. If I'm looking for the rainbow at the end of the storm, I'll begin to see it. If I can look for the light at the end of the darkness, I begin to see it. If I can look for the joy at the end of my sorrow, I can see that it's there. But when I only focus on the problem, when I only focus on what if this went bad, or what if this happens, and what if, you'll spend your whole life chasing after what if, and you'll never walk in what God has already said and done, and what God has for your life. I want you to learn to walk in that fullness as a child of God. I want God to walk in that full blessing. You know, whatever I focus on, that thing grows in my life, right? I can have a small problem, but when I put my focus on that thing, it grows and gets bigger and bigger. When you stare at a small object, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, the other things around you lose focus, and all you can see is that small thing. So quit putting your full attention on the very small problem, on the one thing, saying, what if this grows? Well, you stare at it, it's going to grow. What if this gets big? You stare at it, it's going to get big. I'm not saying you ignore it, but what I'm saying is you got to say, all right, it's there, but so is Dad. I'm going to put my attention on Dad. I'm going to put my attention on the Heavenly Father. God, you're bigger than this problem. God, you're bigger than this situation. God, you're bigger than that, and so my attention is on you. I can walk. I can sleep. My wife used to get so mad at me when we were first married. Well, actually, she gets mad at me a lot now, too. Let's be honest. But when we first got married, we would try, you know, we would be going through something. It wasn't necessarily we were having a fight or anything, but maybe we had something else that was stressful coming up the following week. And I would go to bed, and then I'd be asleep, and all of a sudden I'd hear a nudge. She would hit me. What? What? She goes, how can you sleep? Aren't you worried about what can happen next week? Aren't you worried about the situation? I'm like, no, I'm not. That problem will be there next week, and if it comes up, we'll deal with it then. But right now, I've got to rest. Right now, I want to sleep. And she was like, you know, I don't know how. So we balance each other out. Now I learned not just to blow things off, give them a little attention. And she's learned not to let things stress her out so much, and we bring balance to each other. But it's easy. It's easy to let things dominate you. And you just got to say, God, no, I'm not going to let these feelings of worry and anxiety dominate my life. Well, Pastor, I just can't help it. My mom was a worrywart. Her mom was a worrywart. And I become a worrywart as well. And I just want to ask you this question. What do you want to pass on to your children? What do you want to pass on to your children? Do you want your children to grow up and when they become adults say, you know what, I'm stressed out about everything. I have anxiety for everything. I'm walking with this and I'm walking with this fear. And they walk and they carry on this same tradition? Or are you going to say, you know what, my mama was that way. I know that I'm now walking this way and I don't want to pass that on to my kids. I want my kids to know how big their God really is. I want my children to know that they can trust God and He will see them through. I want my children to know that as for me and my house, we're going to trust God no matter what we go through in our life. I'm starting something new for my children. We're not going to, even though I may be having some signs of worry and anxiety, I'm not going to allow it to rest here. I'm not going to let it camp out in my mind, in my heart. It's got to move on through. It's got to keep on going through because I'm not going to let it dominate my house. Come on, children. Come on. Now, parents, you got to protect your house. Would you deal with it? You got to deal with it. You got to know what's happening ahead of time. Look at what we see here. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's us. Come on, anybody in Christ? That's us. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, this is you. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old things passed away. You used to be dominated by worry and anxiety, but you don't have to stay there. You can allow those old things to be passed away, and you can say, I'm going to become new. We just read it in the scripture. I am renewed, making my mind new, transformed by God's grace. I'm transforming my mind, my spirit. I'm not going to be dominated by worry and anxiety. I'm transforming my mind in Christ. It's the power we have as Christians. But you can't just sit there and let the enemy stay there. You got to take charge. So write this down. Number two, turn every anxious and worrisome thought into prayer until victory. Turn every anxious and worrisome thought into prayer until victory. I know this is a thought that maybe that you haven't thought about, but prayer still works. Let me make it very clear to you. Prayer still works. Prayer is still the key ingredient to walking out effectively in our life in the promises of God. That I have to got to learn to pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. Don't be anxious. See, he's talking to us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And that the peace, what happens then? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to change my mind. I want to renew my mind, Pastor. How do I do that? Through prayer. Through prayer. Through prayer. And when I pray, what happens? The peace of God will come to my mind, transforming, renewing my mind. I'm to be anxious for nothing. Look at this statement. Stop praying these religious prayers. Stop praying religiously and start praying about the things that worry you. You know, sometimes we grow up and we pick up prayers from our family. Have you ever noticed this? That sometimes we don't even realize it, but as we become adults, we are asked to pray, and we'll pray the same prayer we heard our mom pray. Or we'll pray the same prayer we heard our dad pray, and then we'll say the same prayer we heard our grandfather pray. They ask you to pray over the meal, and you'll say it exactly like he did. Oh, Father, for this day we thank you. You know, for the sweat, Lord, we thank you. From the field this came, and from the field it will return. You know, all these things. We'll have all these cute sayings, and we'll do it. There's nothing wrong with those prayers, but sometimes we become very robotic, and we're more worried about sounding religious. You know, it's time to pray, oh God, you know, and we kind of come out and declare this thing. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you want to pray, that your mind gets sidetracked? Do you notice? Am I the only one that has this problem? I had this problem a lot. I'll begin to try to focus in on prayer, and then my mind gets sidetracked with a lot of things that are trying to worry me. I'm worried about this thing. I'm worried about my child. I'm worried about this event. I'm worried about this. And could it be that we see it as sometimes, you know what, Satan, you're just trying to distract me. I'm trying to pray here. Could it be maybe that it's the Holy Spirit trying to get us to pray about the things that we're worried about? He's not trying to distract us. He's just saying, listen, this is what's worrying you. Learn to bring it to me. I can tell you that as a father, that it doesn't happen very often. But once in a while, maybe I'm driving my car, or I'm alone at a dinner with one of my children, and they'll open up and really share something deep, a feeling they had, or the way they've been walking, been feeling lately. And I don't lose it. I don't act like it's a big deal. But inside, I'm like, oh, yes. They opened up. They shared honestly with me. Wow. And it makes me feel like really close to them. And it makes me feel like, man, they trusted me. I can tell you there's something that happens, a bond in my spirit when that happens. Can you just imagine what happens to the Lord when we open up and say, God, this is what's worrying me. God, this is what's got me anxious. God, these are the things that are really stressing me out. I know it has nothing to do with maybe this religious thing going on, but this is what I'm really walking through. And I believe God's saying, bingo, that's where I want to meet you. That's exactly where I want to come. And I want to rest and deal with you this week right where you're struggling, right where you're anxious, right where you're worried. This is where I want to meet you. This is where I want to come and draw near to you. You just got to open up and share. Share about it. If I'm feeling anxiety and worry, God, I just tell you. I don't want God to think I don't trust him. No, you're trusting him with the problem. You're trusting him with those thoughts. You got to learn to attack the enemy every day. Look at this. You got to learn to attack the enemy every day. Don't let him hang out in your mind all day long. If I had someone who I know was coming in to try to bring harm to my family and they were camped out of my house, do you think I'd be like, all right, in a couple weeks, I'm going to go upstairs in that closet and I'm going to deal with that person? No, I'm going to go up right away and we're going to deal with this problem right now. I'm going to make a phone call right away. We're going to deal with this problem right now. Why would I let the enemy come and bring things to my mind, camp in my heart and my mind, and I never do anything about it? When I know he's trying to bring discouragement, when I know he's trying to bring anxiety and fear and worry, when I feel that coming on and I see that and I sense that, I don't let it stay there. Listen, you're going to have that. It doesn't mean you're weak. You're going to have things that worry you and cause anxiety. But what's going to happen is simply this. It's an open door policy. When it comes in, it's not going to stay there. All right, I'm feeling this, but it's going right back out the back door. It's not staying here. Because you know what? I know this, that if I let it stay here, that it will overwhelm me. I know it will cause my stress to go up. I know it causes me to disconnect from what God wants me to be. And so I've got to learn to say, you know what? I identify it. And now it's leaving me. I'm sending it on its way. You don't have a home here. And you got to learn to speak it out. You got to learn to speak it out. God, you are, I believe that God, you are taking this thing from me. My mind is being renewed in Christ. I believe today that there is no room in my life for fear to camp here. I can't let anxiety, you're not welcome here. So as it comes in, hey, it was nice to see you, but going out the door, you cannot welcome to stay here. You got to release it. You got to release it. Come on, someone turn to your neighbor and say, let it go, man. Just let that thing go out. Don't let it stay there when it comes up against you. Let's be honest. Learn to take authority over your mind. Listen, I can't encourage you enough that you've been given God-given authority. You can walk in this authority. Don't come to Pastor Gene or one of the other pastors. I need you to pray for authority in my mind. There's nothing wrong with someone coming in agreement with you, okay? We're here to pray with you. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to know is this. On Monday, you can get up and walk in authority over your mind. God has given you this authority. And so you just got to learn to exercise it, right? Come on, y'all. Give God a hand clap for that. How do I take authority in my mind? All right, fear, you're coming here. Anxiety, you're coming here. Worry, I feel you coming here. You don't welcome here. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now. My mind is being renewed in Christ. I declare right now, I am a child of God, and my mind will rest tonight. I can't sleep. I'm worried. I declare right now, my mind will rest because, God, you're going to take care of this. God, you got the answer even when I don't see it. God, I'm trusting you. And you got to realize that and walk in that and declare it. Come on now. You got to learn to take authority over your life. Thank you, God, that you're in control. If Bill Gates was your father, would you worry about money? Huh? No. You're like, Daddy Bill. Yeah. You wouldn't be worried about money, would you? You wouldn't be stressing about money if one of the richest men in the world was your dad. What about if your dad owned a dozen chains of brand new car lots? Would you be worrying about your car? Well, if this car doesn't start, well, man, if my car goes out on me next week, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, if your dad owns a chain of car dealerships, you know, hey, Dad, bring it on in. Maybe he'll even say, come on in, pick out something different, right? I mean, you wouldn't be worrying and stressing about your car if your dad owned a car dealership. Let me tell you this. Our Heavenly Father makes Bill Gates look bankrupt when we can really see the resources that he has. He is not limited to our mind, what we can imagine, what we can put limits on our imagination. His resources are not limited spiritually, physically. Today, I want you to know He is not limited on resources. He is going to sustain us. He is not going to leave us. He is going to take care of you. He will hold you. He will wipe away your tears. He never promised me I wouldn't have tears, but He did promise me that joy would return to me in the morning. He never promised me I wouldn't have time of depression or walking through a tough season. But He said this, look up, look unto the hills. From whence cometh your help? My help comes from you, O God. And I look unto the Lord. And say, God, you are my author of my faith. You are the strength of my life. Those who wait upon you shall renew their strength. We get our focus back. I may be down, but I'm not out. I'm not destroyed. I may be pressed down, but man, I'm going to rise back up again because it's God's plan of redemption that He will rise me back up. He will raise me back up to be a vessel of honor, used of Him. Yeah, it's a time for my faith to stretch. It's a time for me to believe the Lord. But I look up and I see that God, you're in control. Worry and anxiety are not going to dominate my life. It's not going to cause a chain reaction of mental sickness in my life and a chain reaction of physical sickness in my life. How do I do that? Number three, the last thing. By faith, you got to believe and confess that God is your loving dad and that He will always care for you. You got to continue to confess that. God, I believe that you are my loving father. You are the loving God. You're the loving God in my life and you always care for me. God, I declare you're not going to leave me. I've said it here before, and I believe it bears repeating today, that our Heavenly Father is not a deadbeat dad. How many are thankful for that? Our Heavenly Father, He's not a deadbeat dad. He doesn't just not show up, but He shows up. He says if we would just call upon His name, that He would draw near to us. He says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. I will even send that comforter to be with you. Man, it's the promise we have. We declare it over our life. Last scripture I want to read to you, and then we're going to close as the musicians are coming. Matthew 6:31. Jesus told us, don't worry. Listen, he says, do not worry. He said, everybody say, don't worry. Be happy. No, he didn't say that. But he said, say, don't worry. He said, don't worry about what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek these things. It's like the world, they're seeking after these things first. He goes, but listen, guys. This is the key, okay? You want to hear the key of the kingdom right here. It's one of the foundational keys. But if we will learn to do this, for if your Heavenly Father knows that you, what you need of all these things, but seek first. See, this is the key. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, then all the things that we just talked about, they'll be there. They'll be added to you. Therefore, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Listen, tomorrow's got enough of its own things to worry about. Be at rest today of knowing my Father, our Father, will supply our needs. He will not abandon us. He's going to be there to walk with us when I put first the kingdom. Put first the kingdom. That's where the key is. How many today say, Pastor, I need to break this spirit of anxiety. I need to break the spirit of worry in my heart. I want you to bow your heads before we go any further. I want to ask you the most important question today. And the question is this. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Made Him Lord of your life. I don't mean just come to church. I don't mean that you know who God is. I'm not talking about just being a good person. The Bible says in order for us to become a Christian, it's something we must do. He says we must believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that He was raised from the dead on the third day. We got to believe in our heart. Then it says, not enough just to believe, then it says you must also confess it with your mouth. Okay, two part. I believe and I confess. And today, if you're here, say, Pastor, I've never done this, and today I'm ready to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We won't do anything to single you out. We're not going to call you out or embarrass you, I promise you. We want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. So with your heads bowed, can I just ask you this question? If that's you, you're ready to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand where you're sitting this morning? Let me see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thanks, guys. I appreciate you being honest today. This is an awesome day. This is why we are here. This is why we do what we do. For people who are making these life-changing decisions this morning. One more time, if you want to join those who have raised their hands, raise it right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to join them as well. Okay, this is what we're going to do. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer after me out loud. As Kristen's sitting around you, we'll say it with you as well to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. I confess you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Very proud of you today. Yes, come on out. I think I deserve a bigger hand clap. That was pretty awesome. Man, that was awesome. Now listen, if you raise your hand today, before you leave, we're going to have the hub opened up back here to my left. You'll see the garage door opened up. Inside there, we have a free Bible, some other information we want to place in your hands on next things you want to do. Before you leave today, stop by and receive that free gift from us. We're so proud of you today. Stand across the room this morning. How many of you just want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, man, you've been preaching right to me today. I'm declaring right now. Come on, it's all right. So I'm declaring right now. I'm not going to let anxiety and worry dominate my mind and life any longer. I'm a child of the King. It's time for me to act like it. It's time for me to walk like it. It's time for me to declare and walk in my God-given authority. Fear doesn't have room in my life. Anxiety doesn't have room in my mind. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this song. Let's declare it in the Spirit. And I want to pray for you. So if we just lift our hands across the room, it's a sign, a universal sign of saying, God, we submit our life to you. And as you lift your hands, I want to pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today that, God, your Spirit is reigning in our lives. We declare today that fear, anxiety, worry has no place in our mind and in our hearts today. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare that the peace of God will rule our heart. We declare that Jesus Christ is renewing our mind, and allowing his peace to overwhelm us today. We will not let fear, anxiety, and worry camp in our mind any longer. But today is a new day. Today is a new day. We're going to walk in God's love and authority and knowing we are children of the King. And we bless your name together. If you receive that, come on, put your hands together. Give God a hand clap, a praise today. Walk in that promise today. Walk in that blessing. Don't take the bait. Before you leave, let me give you some instructions. Out front, we have the free snow cones. Doesn't cost you anything. Just wait in line. They'll hand you a cup. And you can go through their filling stations and get the flavor you want. It's an awesome process. You get all kinds of good flavors, okay? You're going to love it. Have a good time. We love you. See you tonight at the date night. God bless you. We'll see you at 2 o'clock as well for reception.